Hi, my name is David Milroy. I'm the lead pastor of New Albany Presbyterian Church. Thank you for watching this message on YouTube or listening to it on our podcast. I hope it blesses you, and also want to humbly remind you that listening to this message is not a replacement for being involved in a local church. So if you are geographically close to NAPC, we would love for you to come worship with us in person if you are able. And if you are not close, then we would love for you to find a local church close to you. It's Bible-believing, Christ-exalting, to get engaged in that church. Lastly, if this message does bless you, it would be great if you liked it, or even better, subscribe to our channel.
Indeed, what privilege it is to open up the Word and to read it openly as the gathered people of the Lord. We are continuing our series in the book of Acts. We are in chapter 7. Our passage today is 17 through 41. Hear now God's Word. But as the time was promised for Egypt, which God had granted to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt, until there arose over Egypt another king who did not know Joseph. He dealt shrewdly with our race and forced our fathers to expose their infants so that they would not be kept alive. But this time Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight. But he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house, and when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. When he was 4 years old, he came into his party with his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppression and revenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. And on the following day, he appeared to them as they were quarreling and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why are you wronging each other?" But the man who was wronging his neighbor thrust him aside, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" At this report, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. Now in 40 years had passed, and an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, and flame of fire in a bush. The Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. And as he drew near to look, there came the voice of the Lord, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob." And Moses trembled and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off the sandals from your feet, from the place where you are standing before the ground. I am truly seeing the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt." This Moses, whom they rejected, said, "He made you a ruler and a judge. This man God sent as both ruler and redeemer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. This man led them out, performing wonders and signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the Moses who said to you Israelites, 'God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers.' This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness, with the angel who spoke to him at Mount Sinai, and with our fathers. He received the living oracles to give to us. Our fathers refused to obey him, but thrust him aside, and in their hearts they returned to Egypt, saying to him, 'Make for us gods who will go before us.' As for this Moses who led us out from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And they made pass in those days and offered a sacrifice to the devil, and will rejoice in the works of their hands." This is the word of the Lord.
Series called The Word. And if you're new here, just hang with us. We're right in the middle of chapter 7. I'm going through the New Testament book of Acts, and we are in the day message, and then was put on trial, is now put on trial, and he has been sentenced himself to this part of this law and process. In fact, the law is in the book of Acts. There's a guy who probably heard of his name, Jordan Peterson. Very, very influential over the last 10 years, and you have to listen to him about something of his. He's almost Christian. Not yet Christian, but they hope that you will want to become a Christian. But he had a thing that years ago that was included with very teaching. He says that when we treat with all kinds of history that we're fraud or danger and difficulty, we tend to think of ourselves in a position where we were for the lucky boys in the wilderness, or the courageous one who took a mistake. Think about the number of people who stood up to the government, which meant moving from the court to the festival, and that showed thanks to the public, and very powerful panel. It was the fact that it was much of the power of God sent to the death of Oscar Schindler, who was himself a student of the evil party that he was up to, and he used his fact to say that 1,500 Jewish people from the tent. He himself went broke on that brush over his courageous decision of the Peter Bonhoeffer, who was a pastor who followed the executed effect in proposing biblical. We tend to think about these folks and think, just be one of those people. Jordan Peterson himself is doubtful. They're not like him at all. If you just look at the sheer numbers of those who went along to get along, overwhelmingly, they directly knew that they were from those people, not the Schindlers or the Schindlers or the Bonhoeffers. It's a good measure of whether or not we would do that. We can stand up in this entire situation where it's not obvious that our wealth, our lives, our families, our lives, is contested. Do we stand up when there is an issue or a matter that is controversial, and there's something in the world that can happen, if we stand up in a way that costs us? Because if we aren't willing to do that now, well, we probably would have done it then. We tend to break that piece of ourselves, the three, but when we actually do what they were doing, this part of his purpose, he defended himself against his brother, and charged blasphemy against Moses, and charged blasphemy against God. And he's going to address the blasphemy part against Moses here, and he clearly says that he loves Moses very clearly in his sermon that he's defending himself. But the point he's making is that these Jewish leaders who are accusing him of blasphemy against Moses, well, if they're following this letter of the religious leaders of Bible that 1,500 years before, they were opposed to Moses. The very people that listened to the intent of Moses that were supposed to be supportive of him, they were the ones who complained about it, who spoke behind his back, who disobeyed him. Now, today, all well knew to honor Moses in sense. It can be great for 1,500 people waiting on that. But back then, their fathers didn't honor them. And so, what is he talking about? Is that someone in the first century, the elder of a guy who, in his religious years, might have rebelled against, might have said, we don't want anything to do with him? Well, that's who Stephen is going to draw their attention to. I think there's a lot here, so let's read it. The Lord Jesus read it in his head here. And we have hear the words and turn them to our lives and command that we must glorify to you for faithful to you. And we move our hearts and our faith and our faith. It is what Father has said to him. We're going to Moses' life as a record of life. 17 through 9, first 40 years of Moses' Right. So moving through key history that we moved through Exodus chapters 1 and 2. And we saw how as this book opens that Abraham, last week we covered Abraham, his functional family, how they moved to Egypt because of his family. One of the other sons of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and his 12 sons who become 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph, the youngest son, came to Egypt. He had become very powerful, God blessed him, and he's the one who spoke to his family coming. They hold up all the grandeur of Holy Spirit, and people are including the people of God. And so, getting sent out to the Jews and the friends, it accepted. And the time of the father, doing it early, God granted it, and God said, I think I the people that came from all the tribes of Egypt, a pilgrim arose over Egypt, another family who didn't know the Joseph. So the Pharaoh rises, he doesn't care about his needs, so he sort of has to be reasonable. And so he begins to oppress them. But the Lord says, stop here, your country will no longer endure. So he does this with a ring and forces our fathers to expose their infants so that they would not be kept alive. This is reference to Exodus chapter 1, verse 16. And I want to read out here for you. It's a little bit of murmuring that begins. This is what this power does, this dictator does. He first enslaves the Hebrew people, and what he makes is when he enslaves the Hebrew people, they still continue to be blessed by him. They are fruitful and they multiply. They continue to support children. And so, what does Pharaoh do? He decides to kill the children. And this mark of murdering the innocent has never been the mark of wickedness and tyranny. In fact, it is one of the finest hallmarks of rebellion against God. In Genesis chapter 1, we find the very first command from God, which is be fruitful and multiply. And fill the earth. That did not set to the human created people's image. This is sort of a double attack on its sacred commandments. It is not only don't have children, but you will kill the children that you have. It is also a violation of the very first commandment that appears in Noah when he comes to the ark. And remember, Noah's family, the only family that survives the flood, they come out of the ark. And what is that said? Be fruitful and multiply. And then it is this commandment, which is a universal commandment. If you didn't know, this is not part of the law for the Israelite people. This is universal. This is what it says, whether it says the word man by man, so Israel, he says, for God made man in his own image. Any parents are not to be murdered. If they are murdered, if they take any time as much. So the Pharaoh, by the end of this commandment, was an obvious form of rebellion. Against God. Later, the Hebrew slaves are freed, and they're dedicated their gifts in the law of the book of Leviticus, which is the third book of the Bible. There's a commandment, express command for the people of God not to commit this sin of murdering the innocent. Leviticus 18:21 mentions a wrathful God, the God of Moloch, and it says this: you shall not give any of your children to offer them to Moloch, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord, and that little addendum, I am the Lord, the name of God, where it means is Yahweh. Yahweh means I am that I am. In other words, I'm proud of all the people of all of us. Do not offer your children to Moloch. And yet, precisely 100 years later, the people who kills Jeremiah, the prophet, who calls himself. And this is the sin, perhaps. This is the, according to others in the first one, this is the contradiction of sin and sex. We can feel all the teachers who do not when they are offered Jeremiah 32, verse 5. The biblical high church is of all the family of the sons of Canaan. Offer up its sons and daughters to Moloch, for I am a commandment. Nor did it enter into the Bible. If they could do this upon our nation, the cause is true that this is due to the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom, the northern kingdom, the three people. If we need to do it, God is all knowing, this is some gathered morphic, the Jews can say, with their mother's children, the white language can say, This book in Hebrew, all the way into the New Testament, we see another kind of group based the Nazarene and the Herald, and taking actually the target to preach about the past a couple weeks ago, who were with us. And when Herald and saw that they'd been preached by the wife on them, became furious and suffering, broke all of the notes that were written about them. And in all that weekend, we were 2 years older and recorded to the time that we actually saw them, and the wife of them, and of course, This is the order it is throughout the Bible. We can read it in the Exodus passage. Well, where else do we get it from? Possible practice of murder, the child sacrifice happening. So we learned from the 34 years. The second century priest, we hear the word you would have been saying to the law, and all the things that you did. And you're not to be born, which makes you the people of the point to make your confession. So we're going to go over 86 million American babies murdered in 66 million adults. If you have been complicit in an abortion, if you have been part of abortion, I want you to know that the great fact of this point overcomes all things. All the Europeans and Turks and Mexicans and his patients and children for the cross finally, because God gracious and merciful of the people that we talk over and over story of the Germans and then how many of them feel comfortable. So if you can offer God forgive you, you are forgiven in Christ that you can be given. We are very much in a more like that worship of the people. In 2022, of course, we're going to wait for the return. It has a cost of abortion to do that. For the last few years, the number of abortions has actually increased. And I wonder if you wonder about the cultural insanities of our country. In the way that the fear of our culture has been really hard to see the practice of the world. Our way of talking about the world of worship.
Seats.
slave, then one day you oppress. And if you get in a fight with them, it gets up to get closer. To make it make sense, to accept, because we personally love the other story that God has given us, so they can find it again. But now that moment that Moses loves that, and when he throws it, it's what to be oppressed, why is he the brothers? There is also a right to come from the human brother, and he can understand it. But certainly, he's going to say that, because the next day, kind of break up a fight between the Hebrew people, they say, who made you a ruler of all your rights? What can you do to you did yesterday? And then, terrified of all this, he left them, because indeed he goes to maybe one day. He's 40 years old, and he lives. And then we get to the next 4 years, so there is Moses called, and Moses bowed, and married before he left. A couple of sons and several that I think he grew up in the country and lived on his rights and experiences. And then, yeah, God is hearing the prayers of his people. And you can see that they have prayed when in verse 34 God says to Moses, I said, this is the first time that people and further were a recent reference to Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 and 25. It says, during the next day, the people of Israel this is the cry for rescue from slavery came up to them. And God, hearing their lament, comforted the brain that the members of the government with Isaac or Jacob saw the people of Israel. And this is a beautiful invitation for you, which is not clearly. Remember, feeds and knows you. You may not feel like God has to feel the reasons to and bring back down to the
confirm that Moses is the Redeemer of God's people. That's most
So he rules the people of that which is Euphrates, Memphis, and Exodus in verse 35. This is the Moses who said to the Israelites, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your blood. This is a prophetic statement of Moses. He's familiar before me. And Peter, in chapter 3 of verse 22, says that this is the Bible in preparation for taking the word of God will raise up for you a prophet that will be from among you, from your brothers. In his name, he told us, Moses is prophetically appointed toward him. Jesus.
And the study is from the Holy Spirit.